chapter 5, verse 23. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest thou thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Back in the Old Testament, man always offered the Lord Jesus Christ an offering, you know, like a blood sacrifice, an offering. But guess what? In the dispensation of grace which we live in, Jesus Christ, God Almighty offers us the greatest gift there ever was, Jesus Christ. And I want you to go to 2 Corinthians, and all through, like I said, all through the Old Testament, there were offerings. But now, in the dispensation of grace which we live in, we got the greatest gift that's ever offered to man is Jesus Christ. Let's look. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 15. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Think about that. Unspeakable gift. Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for all our sins. That's an unspeakable gift. I mean, what greater gift can man receive than that? Today, people were working for their salvation and trying to earn their salvation, but it's a free gift. I tell people all the time, sort of like at Christmas, I go out and I earn a living and I give all my kids a gift, and guess what they do? They say, thanks, Dad, and they tear into their boxes and open it up. They didn't work for it. They didn't even lift their finger. But it's a free gift, and that's the same way salvation is. Jesus Christ went to that cross, and then everything he can do for us, and the only thing we got to do is accept it, believe it, trust it, however you want to word it, just accept a free gift. Go to Romans chapter 5. Today we're talking about Christ's work, and then next week we'll get into more of our works, but people get them confused. People think they're working for salvation, they're working Christ's work, but I got news for the world. Only work that counted is Jesus Christ's work at the cross. We'll see that. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. It said, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. So if you go up to verse 18, right there, it said, the righteous of one, the free gift came upon all men. It's a free gift. Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin. And it says, for by one man's disobedience, we're all made sinners through Adam. Adam became sin because he's disobedient. The second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, he was obedient, and we get his righteousness. How great a gift is that? You can't put no money on that gift. That's the greatest gift that anybody ever received. And it's free, and it's full, and he paid it all. And that's what is a great blessing in the world today. You go to churches and you go listen to them on the radio or TV. It's always they're trying to add something to the cross. There's nothing greater than the cross. And that's what it's all about. He became sin. Who knew no sin? Everything he did was on that cross. And that's why it's his work. We're going to look in some of the Old Testament scriptures and John and stuff. And we're going to see it's his gift. Right before we get there, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We all know this, but it's a great verse. There might be somebody listening that's never heard these verses. In Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to verse 7. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. It said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So one day he's going to show his grace to somebody out in the future. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It says it's a free gift right there, does it not? It's a free gift. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's what people would be doing in heaven. If people could get into heaven any other way, they'd sit around and boast. Oh, thank God I never smoked, cussed, drank, or kicked a cat. And they would be doing that. But the Bible says it's a free gift. And the only way anybody's going to get to heaven is accepting that free gift of the work of Christ. And we're going to get more in his work, but I just want to show it's a free gift. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive, but you have to receive it. You have to see yourself as a sinner on your way to hell, and in that condition, The Holy Spirit convicts you, and you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the simplest thing you can ever do. It's just, Lord, I'm lost. I know that I'm a sinner. I know with all my heart that you went to that cross and died for me. If I'd have been the only person in the world, you died for me. And when you'll trust that and accept that free gift, you can be saved and have peace in your soul. And that's the way it works. Let's go to John chapter 7. This is Jesus in his earthly ministry. There's a lot of good value in here. We can see some things, what he went through. John chapter 17. Let's go to verse 1. John chapter 17, verse 1. It says, "These words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Jesus Christ finished the work. Now, he's not died on the cross yet and said it's finished, but he finished the work the Lord gave him. He glorified the Lord. He was perfect. He was sinless. He never had no guile in his mouth. Could you imagine? You know, every day we have the evil thoughts and think dumb things and say dumb things. Think about the Son of God. He had his precious blood in him, his Father's blood in him, and actually you can see that. He was without sin, without guile, and he was precious, and he finished the work that the Lord gave him. He finished it. Now, he finishes at the cross. In a few minutes, we're going to see that. But he finished the work the Lord gave him. He glorified the Lord. He never sinned. He was holy. He was perfect without sin. And that's why he could go to the cross and be our Savior today. If he had one little sin, guess what? He couldn't have went to the cross and died for us. He could have done it, but it had been in vain. So that's why he's a holy, precious God. And when people say, oh, Jesus was a man, oh, he's a prophet, he's okay, it's baloney. He was the Son of God, he was precious, he was holy, and he was without sin. Because if I had a Savior who went to the cross and he had sin on him, he'd just been dying just like me. But thank God he went to that cross sinless. But what's amazing, he became my sin on the cross. Everything I am. If you're a drunk, he became a drunk. If you're a harlot, he became a harlot. If you're a homosexual, he became a homosexual. If you're a liar, a murderer, whatever you are in your flesh, he became sin. Who knew no sin? And we'll get into that more, but I'm just showing you how the grace of God is. It's so great that he became that for us. All right, go to John. We're right there at it. Now go to John. Let's go to John chapter 19. Let's see what he went through. John chapter 19, verse 1. "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put him on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews, thou smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." So think about it. These soldiers were laughing at him, scourging him, planted crowns of thorns, making fun of the Creator of heaven and earth. Can you imagine what that scene was to God? You imagine? I bet the angels were just saying, Lord, just give us the word. I'll destroy every person on the planet. That is the Creator of heaven and earth doing that. That's how much love and how much grace he had. He took the beating. Imagine the thorns. All that blood running down his eyes and beating. I mean, people don't realize what Jesus Christ... His movies don't do justice what Christ looked like. If you could have went back 2,000 years ago and see the bloody pulp that Christ was... And Isaiah said he wasn't even a man. He said, I became a worm on the cross. He was beaten. He said, no, everybody despised me. I can just imagine, you see a boxer, how he gets beat up. Well, imagine the worst boxer ever. I mean, his eyes shut, blood running down his body. I mean, nobody knows what Christ went through. But he did all that for us. And let's look at verse 16. In verse 16. It said, "Then delivered he therefore unto them and crucified him. They took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth in a place called the place of skull, which is called the Hebrew Golgotha." So it said, bearing his cross. You know how much he identified that cross? His cross. That's how much he loved us. That cross became his. Of course, in Hebrews it said he despised the cross, but he loved us because the cross was for criminals. Everybody wears, you know, crosses around their neck. The same thing today would be electric chair. If you really want to know what a cross is, the thing today would be electric chair. It's a capital punishment. It's not something we glory in the cross, but it's nothing to, you know, you see the Catholics and all them have their little crosses, this, that, and the other. But it was a shame. I mean, he was numbered with the transgressors. As far as the world was concerned, he was just a criminal. In their mind, oh, he's guilty, he's a criminal. But he was doing that for me and you. He became sin who knew no sin, and he was doing it for us. And I mean, you can't put a price on how gracious the Lord God was to give his son. I think about, I got three sons. You imagine turning your son, your only son, over to the mob and crowd? Most men, it ain't no way. But that's how much God loved us, that he gave his son to go do all that on the cross for us. We just read 16 and 18. Let's look down to verse 23 and see what all he went through. He said, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part in all his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us now rend it, but cast lots for it. Who it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them for my vesture, they did cast lots. Their things, therefore, the soldiers did. And now they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Phinehas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. So imagine her looking at her son. He said, behold thy son. That he's down on the cross for us. Then saith he to his disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciples took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing all these things were now all accomplished, that the scripture might be filled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon the hips, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. When he said it was finished, he meant it. And today, only way you can get to heaven is through that cross. When he said it was finished, it's finished. It's a done deal. Everybody today, only way people go to hell today is not for cussing, not for lying, not for drinking. Only way somebody will go to hell today is walk over that cross. That cross that he went to and bare for us. Everything he done, that's the only way we can get to heaven is through that cross. And when he said it's finished, it's finished. There ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's a done deal. And when you know a done deal, that old little country daddy goes, get her done. Well, it was done. I mean, it's done. And the cross is finished, and there's nothing else. Well, let's look what our apostle says. If you ever look up Peter and see what he says about the cross, he says the whole thing. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to show you how Peter presents the cross, and I'll show you why Paul is our apostle and how he presents the cross. In Acts chapter 2, we read this a lot. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, and you see who he's reading, and you see who he's talking to is Israel. In Acts 2, verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, among you, approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determination, counsel, foreknowledge of God, that you have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. So he's preaching a murder indictment. He ain't glorying in the cross. He's saying, hey, you took the Messiah, which is the Son of God, and crucified and slain him. He's preaching a murder indictment. So after that, he said, look into verse 37. He said, and after he preached that to them, he said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, today in the dispensation of grace, I wouldn't tell somebody to repent and be baptized for their sins. I'd tell them that Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for our sins. Matter of fact, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at our Paul. Paul's our apostle. Look at what Paul says about the cross and about the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now see if he says the same thing Peter. People are always trying to say Peter and Paul preached the same thing, but they didn't. See what he says about the cross. It says, moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received and where you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. That vain's no reason to believe it. Just, oh yeah, just roll off your back like it's nothing. Like, oh, that ain't no big deal. Look, for I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, that's the gospel. Christ went to the cross and died for our sins, buried, and rose again. He rose for our justification, Romans says. That's the gospel. Peter didn't know the gospel like Paul. That's why in Galatians, Paul went to Peter and told him the gospel that he preached. And it's not the same. And see what Paul says. Paul says he glories in the cross. Let's see how Paul presents the cross also. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look a little bit at how Paul presents the gospel and the cross in his work, Christ's work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go to verse 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who have reconciled unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses in them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Verse 19, God's not imputing trespasses to people right now. You know, people's got the idea that God's sending you to hell for your sins. He said He's not imputing them. You understand that? He's not imputing your trespasses. Look in verse 20. Why is He not doing it? It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For He, which is God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see that verse? He became sin, who knew no sin. Guess what? He became what we are on that cross. And that's why it's so important. And the most important thing in the world is preaching of the gospel and the cross. And guess what people are doing? They ain't preaching it, are they? We're living in a world that you hear very little cross and very little gospel. And if you don't believe me, turn on the TVs, go to churches and visit. It's stories. It's like Paul warned Timothy later times. Tell little old fairy tales, don't they? I've been to churches where guys are funny man for 45 minutes and never share the gospel. And guess what the Bible says the gospel is? It says the power of God unto salvation, isn't it? Without the gospel, people can't get saved. And that's why it's so important to preach the gospel. Look in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And this is what Paul, and this is what we should do. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, but in the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Paul says, "I glory in the cross." You know, sometimes around Easter, a lot of people cry and said, "Oh, well, I wish Jesus went to that cross and had to suffer." Do you know if He didn't go to that cross and die for us, we'd be in hell today? People are dying and burning in hell right now. And if people's got the attitudes, Christians, and I know some of them don't understand it like they should, and some of them are saying all the beating. I can understand the beating, the emotional side of what He went through. But if He didn't go to that cross, guess where we'd be today? In hell. And thank God. That's why Paul says, "I glory in the cross." Not that He had to go through all that suffering, but He glories in the cross that Jesus loved Him enough to go to the cross and die for Him. That's what He glories in. That's what we should glory. It's not about church membership. People glory in that. It's not about baptism. People glory in that. It's not about walking the aisle, joining the church, or ask Jesus into your heart. It's about the gospel that Christ died for our sins. And that's what it's all about. That's what we should glory in, the cross. And like I said, it's being preached less and less and less. But you just got to stay faithful, and you got to keep hoping and praying that men of God keep preaching the gospel. Well, let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and see what the cross does for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Got to slow down a little bit. I get ahead of myself. Yeah, I know where I'm going, but y'all don't. So slow down a little bit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all the things might be have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." Verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross." Notice how it's His cross. "By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether the things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." By His cross. By the blood of His cross. And that's the only way we can be saved today. And that's why it's His work, His cross, His grace. It's His gift to us. And there's nothing, you can't put a number on it. I mean, people say, what would a man, the Bible says, what would a man trade for his soul? I mean, there's no amount of money I would trade for my soul, or what would a man do to gain, you know, gain eternal life? But look with me in Colossians chapter 2. And this is the verse I really love. In Colossians chapter 2, it's good verse 12. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised us from the dead. And ye, being dead in your sins, have the uncircumcision of the flesh, have they quickened together with him, having forgiven you what? What's the next word? All trespasses. Jesus Christ forgiven us all trespasses. I always hear people always claiming John 1:9, it's the tribulation saints, and they got to do that. You know, what's the verse? John 1:9, if you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Well, what's the opposite of that? If you didn't confess your sins, he wouldn't forgive you, would he? Well, think about this. Paul says in the dispensation of grace, he has forgiven us all trespasses. Everything that you ever done in your life, he's already forgiven. Because he died in AD 33. That was in the future before he was born. He already became your sin. You just didn't know about it until you heard the gospel and trust Christ your Lord and Savior. So he's forgiven us all trespasses. Does that mean we go out here and just live in any old sin we want? No, we're appreciative. And we're going to get into that in a second. We're going to start a little bit about our works. And next week we'll take up with it more. We go to 2 Timothy. Let's look at this last verse about this before we get into our works. And we do have works after we're saved. But it's not for salvation. Christ's works what gets us saved. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 8, it says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partakers of affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So Jesus Christ in his foreknowledge and God in his foreknowledge knew he would trust Christ our Lord and Savior. That's why it says, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Do you know that body of Christ was already seated in heaven? He already knew who would trust Christ our Lord and Savior. And according to, it says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Everything Jesus had, he did it on the cross. Turn with Ephesians, last thing. We'll talk about his cross. I'm going to show you how great these words are in the King James Bible in Ephesians. I just want to read a few things right here. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let's go to 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Watch these words. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, where he hath abounded toward us in the wisdom of prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Did you notice every one of them words, his, everything we have in Christ spiritually is through the cross of Christ. His work, his love, you can't get around it. And you got people out here thinking, having the audacity to work for their salvation. You got to be a nutcase. And the main thing is because you will not rightly divide the word of truth. Yes, some Jews had to keep some commandments. They had to keep the law. And they had to work for their salvation. They could lose it. But in the body of Christ, if these preachers can read 6th grade English and see who their apostle is, Romans 2, Philemon is to us. All the Bible's for our admonition and learning, but Romans 2, Philemon is to us. And if they get in this book and study rightly dividing the word of truth, they could see his grace and his love and his mercy. I mean, everything we got is in Christ. And next week, we're going to talk about our works. So I'm going to show you 2 verses, and next week we'll get into more about our works. In Ephesians chapter 2. We were there a few minutes ago. Ephesians chapter 2. So do we just go out here and live any old way we want to? I'm going to show you what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto what? Good works. We're created unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk what? Walk in them. So if God Almighty has the Holy Spirit in you, you should walk in them good works, shouldn't you? It says that He created us, in Jesus Christ, unto good works, that we walk in them. Go to 1 Timothy. And we're going to get into this. So many people is always wanting to. This is really going to be good, I think, next week, because people think, well, as long as I confess my sins, that bad work goes away. After you're saved, if you got saved 18 years like myself, I've been saved since 1990. Greg been saved since 99. So everything me and him's done in our body, since we've been saved, we're going to give an account, whether it's a good work or bad. Nothing to do with our salvation. We're already sons of God. We're adopted sons of God. It's not about that. Sonship's taken care of. It's about rewards. It's about, are we going to have a crown to give to our Lord and Savior handed in? Or are we going to have wood, hay, and stubble? And it's very important next week. Hopefully everybody will be here next week where we can get in that, because there's so much mess in that. They think, well, if I claim under the blood, John 1:9, that bad work's going to go away. The people believe that. But no. Wood, hay, or stubble, or precious stones. Gold, silver, or precious stones. But we're going to, and people's always mixing our works with Christ's work. They're separate. You can't do a good work until you trust in His finished work. So, 1 Timothy, we'll look at this, and then we'll close, and then next week we'll really get into it, a lot of scriptures next week about what's a good work and bad work. Most times people don't even know what a good work and bad work, and we're going to get more into that. I think it'll be a blessing for all of us, but it is for myself, because we're going to look at what's a good work and bad work. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24, it says, some men's sins are open beforehand. So sometimes you can see man's sins, you know, right? You know, if you go out and do something really bad in front of people, people see it, right? Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. So sometimes you can do things that people don't know about, but God's going to know, right? Look in verse 25. Likewise, also his good works of some manifest beforehand. If you go out here and witness people and you love the Lord, people know that. They can see it. Not how good you are, but the words come out of your mouth. Hey, come to Bible class. Hey, Jesus Christ died for your sin. That's a good work. What y'all do opening up your house is a good work. Every Monday, people around here say, hey, they love the Lord. They're taking time out of opening up your house and giving an hour for somebody like me to come teach you. You've got to have some grace. But anyway, it's a good work, and people see that, and people will get saved here. People will get saved here, and the ones that are saved will get established if we keep being faithful. And that's a good work. It says, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So if you do good works, the Lord knows it. People know it. If you do things as a bad work, sometimes people know it, and sometimes you might keep your secret, but at the judgment seat of Christ, guess what's going to happen? Wood, hay, or stone. So we're going to get it for next week. Wood, hay, stubble, and precious stone. Every one of y'all, Paul says, his goal is everyone to have a crown. The right to have a crown. He talks about the second team, and I want everyone in this Bible class to have a crown. I don't want y'all to go without a crown. And glory, I want y'all to say, I knew this book. I love this book. I studied this book rightly divided. All the Bible is for admonition and learning, but not all of it's written to us. Paul laid out 13 books, and it's directly to the body of Christ.